here. I wanted to talk about two aspects of Sefirat HaOmer. Firstly, regarding the mitzvah of Sefirat HaOmer, and then secondly, regarding the various minhagim and nihugim that we have during the Sefirat HaOmer period. Regarding the mitzvah, the Torah tells us in Chumash Vayikra Parshat, of course, right? Ushvartem lachem yimacharat haShabbat yom.
Some more recorded than people.
Shvat lachem yimacharat haShabbat yom aviyachem et omer atzimufa sheva shabbatot yimot tiyana ad yimacharat haShabbat hashviyit yisdu chamishim yom v'kraftem yimcha chadashu al Hashem. So there's a mitzvah that say me d'oraita to count 7 weeks or 49 days. You'll see that there's a mitzvah to count both. Beginning on the second day of Pesach. Beginning the second day of Pesach, on Tet Zayin Nisa. Now, I think that there's a mitzvah d'asei midoraita, which is very true. The question is that mitzvah d'asei midoraita still no hay b'zman hazeh? And here there's an important machloket between the Rishonim. The Rambam holds that that mitzvah midoraita, counting Sefirat HaOmer, applies at all times and all places, which means that this manena is a mitzvah d'asei midoraita. On the other hand, the Balei HaTosfot say that since the pasuk says "Uspartem lachem yimacharat haShabbat miyom haviyachem et Omer hasnufa," you start counting on the day you bring the minchas to Omer. So the Balei HaTosfot understand that when is there mitzvah midoraita counting Sefirat HaOmer? Only when you bring the minchas to Omer. Only zman hamikdash. But there's manena where there is no minchas to Omer, so there is no mitzvah that they counting Sefirah. And therefore, according to Balei HaTosfot, Sefirah b'zman hazeh is a mitzvah midrabanan. So according to the Rambam, it's a mitzvah midoraita. According to Tosfot, it's a mitzvah midrabanan. One of the differences between these two opinions is how early in the evening can I count Sefirah? Because Sefirah has to be at night. So the question is, can I count Sefirah bein hashmashos? Between Shkia and Seis, can I count Sefirah? So if Sefirah is my main is a mitzvah midoraita, and bein hashmashos is a suffix time period, so suffix doraita, the chumra, and I wouldn't be yosei, the suffix, if I counted Sefirah bein hashmashos. But according to the Balei HaTosfot, that it's a mitzvah midrabana, if a person counted Sefirah bein hashmashos, so suffix, the rabbanon, the kula, and he would be yosei b'di'eved, and he wouldn't have to count again if he counted bein hashmashos. The din in Shulchan Aruch is that if a person, actually din in Mishnah Berurah passes like this, that if a person counted bein hashmashos, so it would be best to count again after bein hashmashos, but without a problem. We were stomach on the Balei HaTosfot that probably you were yosei, but to be on the safe side, count again after bein hashmashos, go without a bracha. Yes, but no. It's supposed to say. You have to wait till night to say. In other words, let's say Tzeta Kochavim is, I mean, they're going to be changing the clocks in the next 3 days, but let's say that Tzeta Kochavim is at 8 o'clock. So I can say. And I count that Shkia was at 7:30. So I counted at a quarter to 8. So if it's a mitzvah that's a midoraita, so something the right in the chumra, you're not guilty. If it's midrabanan, then something the rabbanan lagula, and you would be also. The mitzvah we passed is that if you shouldn't have counted before, you should have waited till 8 o'clock to count. But if you count at quarter to 8, it would be best to count after 8 o'clock again, but without a problem. Okay. A woman chayev a patur in Sefirat HaOmer. The simplest understanding is that Sefirat HaOmer is a mitzvah tasei. She has man grama and women are pturos from Sefirat HaOmer. Now, can the women count? So, yeah, women can be mekayim in mitzvah tasei that they're patur from. Most Svartik poskim hold that women who are mekayim in mitzvah tasei that they're patur from can do it, but shouldn't say a bracha. So if a woman that is, according to most Sephardic poskim, if a woman is no lulav on sukkah, So she certainly could be zalta lulav. She's kima mitzvah, but she can't recite the bracha. Shaket Hashem mitzvah tzivah. Presumably, same thing with Bible Sfira Selma. However, the meaning of Ashkenazic Falskin, based on the Ramah, is that women do recite a bracha on lulav, do recite a bracha on tzloka. In other words, they can recite the bracha. The same thing should apply to Sfira Selma. And that's what many Achronim write. Mishnah Berurah quotes an opinion that women shouldn't say a bracha on Sfiras HaOmer because they make mistakes. So a number of more recent poskim say that Baruch Hashem, most women nowadays are more educated, more formally educated than they were even 100 years ago. And therefore, there shouldn't be a problem as long as they listen to a Shia on Kavos Sfiras HaOmer, so they shouldn't be making mistakes. And therefore, women can count. Not only can they count, but they can also count with a bracha similar to men. Yeah.
So the Sephardi men that they don't have to be a bracha. So does that mean that they just when they remember, they just count, and when they don't remember, it would make a difference? They don't have to stop.
Yeah. Well, we'll get to that. We'll get to that, but it still is a problem, because the reason we count without a bracha is the machlokas whether there's a mitzvah then or not. So if they messed up, it's still a topic whether there's a kima mitzvah. But we'll get to that. Yeah. Right, I mean, you could make a similar argument, but you would say, okay, the man at least had, they went to the shul, they went to the shul between Mincha and Maariv, and the rabbi explained some of the halachos of Sfiras HaOmer and the Shini. Okay, right, but you see, men have an absolute obligation, so they have to make the best effort. So the women don't have an obligation, so. But there's Manenu, I think that it's fair to say that women can count, and women, and at least Ashkenazic women can certainly say, can say bracha. Now, there's a mitzvah, as we said, based on the pasuk, to count both days and weeks, and that's what we do in the Sfira. For instance, we say, Hayom, well, at least the Ashkenazic way of saying it is, Hayom Shmona Yamin, Shem Shavu Echad, Yom Echad Ma'omer, Ba'omer. So we count the days and we count, we decide them to have a slightly different nusach. We say, Hayom Shmona Yamin Ba'omer, Shem Shavu Echad, Yom Echad. We put the word Ba'omer, Ba'omer in the middle. Okay. Now, what happens if a person forgot a day? They totally forgot. They forgot to count the 22nd day of the Omer. They counted the first, they counted the 21st night. They skipped the whole next 48 hours, and then on the 23rd night they said, oh, I forgot to count. I missed the whole day. So, the Bali also say, listen, each day is independent, and it's not a problem. So, okay, you missed one day, but continue counting from day 23 with the bracha, etc. That's the opinion of Bali Atosos. The Bahab, the Baal Alof of Gedolo, says, forget it. Right? They forget, they blew the mitzvah. They blew the mitzvah. And it doesn't make sense, it doesn't pay for them to count anymore. Somebody forgot day 22, they remembered on day 23, don't bother counting the rest of the sphere. Now, how do you understand this? So some understand it, and it's probably not the correct understanding. Someone understands this to mean that the Bahag holds that there's one long mitzvah. The mitzvah has 49 parts, and it's an all or nothing mitzvah. Either you do all 49 parts, or if you miss one part of the mitzvah, you blew it. That's probably not the correct understanding of the Bahag, but the Bahag probably meant that. So the Rachik and others explain this follows. The Pasuk says that the Sfira has to be Tamimos. Sheva Shabbatos Tamimos. What does Tamimos mean? Complete. You have to count, complete counting. Each day is a separate mitzvah. But if a person counts 1, 2, 3, 4, 6, 7, 8, it's not a complete counting. Because they skipped 5. So the Baha'i would say you counted the first 21 days, so you got 21 mitzvahs. When you totally forgot to count 22, you can't count 22. Why not? Because you counted 19, 20, 21, 23. That's not a complete counting. So up until 21, you were fine. When you skip 22, so that's it. You can't count 22. Whereas, the Bali also disagrees, and they say, whatever you count, you can count. But the fact that you personally missed a day doesn't affect the counting. Okay, So therefore, what's the halacha? According to the Baha'i, when you miss day 22, you shouldn't bother counting the rest of the spheres. According to Baal Yafelis, if you miss day 22, you continue counting day 23 with the bracha. Machloka Dishonim, what do we do? We count 23, 24, 35, till 49, but without a bracha. Why? Safek, we're still chayav, so count. Safek, we're not chayav, so safek bracha slahakim. So, we don't say the bracha. Some people, I hear from you, I missed 3 days ago, so I stopped counting. Don't stop counting just because you missed 3 days ago. According to Bali and Tosa, if you get a mitzvah every night to count, even if you missed the 5 days. But, you can't count with the bracha. Well, it's suffix. But according to the top Bali and Tosa, it's bother a key mitzvah. Say a bracha. According to the Mahag, it's bother not a key mitzvah, don't bother counting. We are not sure, and therefore we count, but without a bracha. Yes, some of the guys even count on the bracha. They say that there's the mitzvah, there's a right to the run of counting, which is everything which say bracha. Now, what happens if a person is not sure whether they count to day 22? Did I count last night? I don't know if I counted last night. I was going. Person simply doesn't remember. He's at night 23, he doesn't remember whether he counted 22. So, he could certainly continue his counting. Does he say with a bracha or without a bracha? The answer is, with a bracha. Why? Strict faith. First of all, maybe he did count. Maybe he counted 22. And even if he didn't count 22, maybe the halacha is like the Baal Yafelis also. So there's a strict faith working on his behalf, and therefore if you're not sure whether you counted a day, so you continue counting, but if you're not sure to count the day, you continue counting with the bracha. Next one. I told you that you count at, hold on for a moment, I told you that you count at night. Let's say a person forgot to count day 16 at night. Day 16. You count the count the 16th of the Omer at night, and remember the following morning. Sometimes during the day. Can he count?
Yes.
Can he say a bracha?
No.
No. You can't say a bracha because that's not the year for counting. But you count. And that night, the 17th, can you count with a bracha?
Yes.
Yes, even according to the Baha'i, because I didn't skip 16 altogether. I counted the first 15 at night, 16 at least I said during the day, and then 17 I said, at night, even according to the Baha'i, I can continue counting with the bracha. So if you forget at night, you count during the day. Some people it may have a practice that after Shacharit, they always count without a bracha, just in case. Right, just in case out of habit, they forgot to count last night, so they'll say, oh, yeah, so... You can just say, Hayom Shabbat Hayom Shehem Shnei Shavuot Shleim Lomer. You can say that. And in case you forgot to count the night before, so at least you count it during the day. So you always cover yourself. You don't have to do it. I mean, it's not a widespread thing, huh? Some people do that just to be on the safe side.
If you don't have a
kavanah
to fill the
mitzvah,
then...
Yeah, you have a kavanah to fill the mitzvah, in case I wasn't... In case I forgot to count last night, so I'm just saying it again. Lucky, you had a question earlier.
Yeah. So for the thing with the safe makeup, you're not sure if you have. What if you're not sure if you missed like a couple days in a row or not in a row? Like, I know I wasn't sure 3 weeks ago and I was...
Even if you missed, even like, I'm not sure if I counted day 21, I'm not sure if I counted day 24, I'm not sure, each of the like, you're a very absent-minded person. As long as you're, I didn't mean Malcolm. As long as you're, it's really you're not sure. Not that you didn't, but you pretend you're not sure.
No.
You're really not sure. So each day, each time, it's a fixed rate of working in your favor to continue counting with the bracha.
Even if it's a day in a row.
You're not sure if I counted the last 3 days.
Didn't count in your
bracha. Then you have to examine the case independently. Theoretically, if you're really not sure, you can continue. Emily.
If during the day, you're not sure if you anyway.
Yeah, it doesn't.
Can't say about
the day. Right, you never say about the day, but you just count to be on the safe side. Yeah.
Is that thing, like, yeah, like, and he keeps saying it.
During the day. Right.
So you say next day with the bracha during the night, and then into the...
You say next day with the kinkir, and then you finally remember at night to continue with the bracha.
Yes, yeah, so it doesn't matter how much.
Correct. Yes.
So why is the real obligation to say
that? Because they have to be tmimah. In order to be complete counted, we want to do it at the beginning of the halachic day, which is in the evening. Okay, so we have a okay, yeah.
Is it the because time is the night, or is it like the end of the day, like still part of the time, or is it doing?
So it's not so clear. According to the Bahag, it sounds like it's not the klal. There's no kiyam mitzvah. That's why we don't make a bracha. There's no kiyam mitzvah, but it's at least it's called the counting.
So, are there other instances where we're not in the
in
mitzvah without a bracha? Like
even
do that
like a lulav,
right?
Maybe havas bikurim. The time periods when you're maybe bikurim v'korei, and then sometimes you maybe bikurim ve'inam korei. It's not the ikur man of mitzvah. There are certain things like that. Yes. Oh, excellent question. Now listen, I forgot to count Sunday night. I remember Monday, 5 minutes after Shkia. So I count Sunday night counting without a bracha, wait till Tzeitzah Kochavim, and I can count Monday night counting with the bracha. Again, because of the sex maker. Safek that Bein Hashmoshes is still really the daytime. And even if it's not, according to the Bali Atosos, okay. It's important not to mention the counting of the Omer on the night that you're going to count before you actually say the bracha to count. So if you haven't counted Omer tonight, and somebody says to you, what's the count? You say, oh, today's the 22nd day in the Omer. You have a big problem. Because what did you just do? You just counted. And once you counted, you can't do the bracha afterwards. So you sort of, you were makayim the mitzvah, but you blew with the bracha. You should still recite the proper nusach, because you didn't say the weeks also, you should say. But that's the thing to be careful about. You should certainly be careful after Tzeis, for sure you should be careful. Even after Shkia, you should be careful. And some sort of people are careful after Flagamim. But that's why you may be very aware that when people say, what's tonight's number? And people say, last night was 21. The 22nd, they say last. Now, if you already counted it that night with the bracha, someone says to you, what's tonight? You can say, tonight's 22. Because you already counted. But if you haven't counted yet, the old joke said, during the Shvi'ah, some guy comes home to his wife, what's the supper tonight? And she said, last time we had meatballs. You can't say, yes. Probably you're not running into a problem, but there is a bit of a machloket whether the word ba'omer or la'omer is ma'akev. There's a bit of machloket whether if you don't say the word hayom is ma'akev. So in order to avoid it, right, because next time you'll say, presumably if you just said 16, you run into a problem. But if you say today is 16, you may already run into a problem. Now, somebody says to you, if it happens to be the 19th day of the Omer, and somebody says to you, how old are you? You don't have to say, last year I was 18. It's not so much a problem. So, Poskim say it's not Ma'akeh, whichever one you use, but some Minhagim say Bo'omer, some Minhagim say Lo'omer. Exactly what it is, I'm not sure. The literature talks a little bit about it. Some have it one way, some have it the other way. By the way, you always have to be careful. On the night of Lag Bo'omer, if you haven't counted the sphere yet, don't say, whoa, it's Lag Bo'omer! You may have counted. Now, it's a question, because you didn't count a number to count the Rashi Tevot. That's also a question. So in order to avoid all these shilas, we're careful. Yeah. It depends how badly you said it. If you say tonight's the 13th day of the Omer, You can't say a bracha.
But if you did it,
Yeah. Okay. There are two, just a little bit, some questions. There are two fascinating questions in the poskim. One is a very old common question, and one is a relatively new common question. Not so common. One is a boy becomes, anybody, Jew is a girl, anybody who comes bar about mitzvah in the middle of Sfirat HaOmer, so what happens in terms of counting with a bracha? Because the first half, practically, it could be one day, it could be 48 days, but for part of the Omer, they count it as an Eino Mitzvah. And now, they're counting as a Mitzvah. So, correct, but you count it as a Katan or a Katana. So in any event, the question arises, it's a standard anybody's bar mitzvah during Sfirat, half the bar mitzvah speeches during anybody's bar mitzvah during Sfirat HaOmer, the boy speaks about this issue, right? Can he continue counting with the bracha or not? Many folks can say he can continue counting with the bracha, as long as he didn't miss. The reason he would be allowed is because the first half of the counting he did as somebody who wasn't high in counting. So maybe he wasn't accounting. Like the going behind, maybe he missed the whole beginning. It wasn't really compared to what he's going to do afterwards. Okay, the other question, which is even a more fascinating question, is a person who crosses the date line on during Sfirat HaOmer. Depending on which way you cross the date line, you run into issues. In other words, where there's some point on the globe, and there's a whole separate issue about where the halachic date line is, but there's some point on the globe where on one side you're one day of the week and the next side you're on the other day of the week. In other words, the sun keeps going around. Right? So the sun rises. So when the sun rose here this morning, we knew it was Tuesday morning. And when it rose in New York, after it rose here in Israel, it was Tuesday morning. And when it rose in California, it was Tuesday morning. And when it rose in Hawaii, it was Tuesday morning, and it rose in Australia, it was Tuesday morning, and when it rose in India, it was Tuesday morning, and it rose again back in Israel, it was Tuesday. At some point, it was Wednesday morning. So there's an imaginary line somewhere where that's where the new day begins. So if for argument's sake, you were flying from Los Angeles to Australia, when in Los Angeles, oh, let's do it the other way around first. If you're flying from Australia to Los Angeles, so what happened is you counted in Australia the 18th, you flew during the day, you get to shul in Los Angeles to Davin Meirev, and they're counting the 18th. I did that last time. Well, the reverse is you were flying from Los Angeles to Australia. In Los Angeles, you counted on the 18th at night, and the next night in Australia, it's the 20th. What happened to day 19? It disappeared. So it's a serious issue. The first one I mentioned is much less of a problem, because you didn't miss a day, you just, maybe you count 18 the second time, count battle cross, or whatever it is, maybe you don't have to count, but yeah, but if I said at night, tonight's the 18th of the Omer, and an hour later, said tonight's the 18th of the Omer, and that's what? I mean, I can say it many times. I can't say it rough, only once. What? No, so I don't, that's also an interesting question. But we say it's all part of the same day, so to speak. But if I lose the day, it's a big problem. It's a big problem. It's supposedly people who won't fly in a certain direction. So, in your coming back, if you're not crossing the date line, it's not a problem. Your day is either a little bit of a shorter day or a little bit of a longer day. But it's still, you won't lose or gain a day. It's just a little bit shorter or longer. Oh my God. That's an interesting shot. I never heard of it. The Shavuot, the reason, you have to understand what I'm talking about. Shavuot has no calendar day in the Torah. The Torah says you start counting the Omer, you count 49 days. Day 50 is Shavuot. So the question is, if a person, because they crossed the deadline, had a totally different counting, is their Shavuot going to be on a different day? So I don't know if this is sort of an interesting question. Okay, I've come to Gabe, the halachos of counting. Any questions? Yes.
If you're like, if you don't actually say what day it is, you like, you're trying to meet someone and they ask you, and you say...
16?
Yes, that can't
be. Probably not a problem, but if somebody says to you, what's tonight counting the Omer, and you haven't counted yet, you should tell them last time it's 15. If you said 16, you can still count with, the brother. But we try to avoid it.
Well,
first,
you have to be consistent with
doing
the flounder or something.
No, why not?
Okay. And also, when we talked about like the kasan, the kasan should be counting the whole time from the bracha, right? It comes from the bracha.
Yeah, you see, if a cousin is not becoming bar mitzvah that year, and he counts the whole time with the bracha, so his whole counting on it is the rabbanan chinuch level, but that's fine. The problem is, if he's switching in the middle from a chinuch level counting to a chayav level counting, does the chinuch level counting, is it considered significant compared to his chiyuv level counting? Yeah. That's on what I think is a misunderstanding of the Baha'i. I don't think you have to worry about it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, let's talk a little bit about some of the new Gavin with the Sphira. Sphira Ka'omer, if you take a look at the Gemara, the only thing the Gemara talks about since the Sphira Ka'omer is in the Sotah. But there's a Gemara Masechet Yevamos that tells us that during the time period between Pesach and Atzeret, or between Pesach and Protatzeret, meaning between Pesach and Shavuos, 12,000 pairs of Talmidim, meaning 24,000 Talmidim of Rabbi Kiva died during this time period. Okay. Now the Gemara again makes mentions this fact, but does not make any comment as, and therefore we, doesn't say that. Yet we find already in the time of the Gaonim that there was a minog not to get married during the Sphira period. And the reason given was because during this time period, Talmid Rabbi Kiva died. There are two possible understandings to what's going on over here. Why don't we get married? At least in the original custom. One possibility is because we're no age a bit of Avevus. Wedding is a great simcha, we know a bit about Avevus. The other possibility is because this time period was considered not such a good time period. And people don't want to start off their married life with a bad semen. This is a time, obviously this is a bad time to start. And that's the other reason given. So the original, the first thing mentioned is not getting married. However, to point out that there is no problem getting engaged during the Sphira time period, that the post can say is fine, but we don't get married. Now, somewhat later, still in the time that we've shown it, we find an additional prohibition, and that is prohibition of haircutting, which also wasn't done. And here it's obviously not because you're going to have a bad hair day. Here it's already clearly because of the Yon of Avelus, and one doesn't get haircuts during this time period. Most poskim say that this Easter applies to women as well, although for extenuating circumstances we're more makel with women. But on a regular basis,
this come here.
That may be the word. If mitzach miyuchad yesh lahaka, what can be extenuating? What can be extenuating circumstances? What? You're getting engaged. You need your hair done. Okay. Well, that can be extenuating circumstances. There is no problem in terms of haircutting when it comes to eyelashes or eyebrows, that's not included in the Yisr.
I don't know, people trim their eyelashes? No?
Regarding women and shaving their leg, presumably based on something Rav Moshe writes elsewhere, he doesn't talk specifically about Tefillat HaOmer, but it seems to me he talks about either a married woman or a woman of marriageable age would be allowed to shave her legs, he says, even during the 9 days. So presumably Sphere is not more, any more common than that, and therefore a woman would be allowed to shave her legs during this time period. Marriageable age. Well, that's a Sphere is always after Pesach. That's never a problem. Marriageable age, I don't think necessarily means somebody who's actually dating. There's more to be made of. In terms of men, one of the key questions comes up not so much in terms of haircuts, but in terms of shaving. So Rav Moshe and Shlomo Zalman are of the opinion that a man would be allowed to shave during Sefirat HaOmer if it was necessary for work. In other words, if he worked in the kind of workplace where looking somewhat disheveled would be frowned upon, so then he would be allowed to shave. Some have a custom not to shave during Sefirat HaOmer, but they do shave on Friday, the Kabbat Shabbat. In other words, during the week there's no special din of Kabbat, so they don't shave. But on Friday, Kabbat Shabbat, they do shave. So some Achronim write that, and Shlomo Zalman Neubach was not happy about that. He disagreed with that custom, but that custom is quoted by some Achronim. Now, Soloveitchik took it even one step further. Rav Soloveitchik held that for someone who's always, he said the dinim of Svira and shaving mimic the dinim of during the 12-month Avelos, that a person who's no extra parent who passed away. And since during the 12-month of Avelos, somebody who looks disheveled, the Goarin Bo Chavera, the friends tell him, you know, you look scruffy, he's allowed to shave. So Soloveitchik held the same thing applied during Svira. So somebody who's normally clean-shaven and now is beginning to look scruffy, Soloveitchik held that he can shave, and once he can shave once, he can continue to shave every day. That's not such a common stock, but that's what Soloveitchik held. Yeah? It could be what your brother meant is if you weren't so worried about Kavach, if you didn't hold that Kavach Shabbos overrode the first Friday, so all of a sudden why should it override the second Friday? Unless you have a very slow growing beard. And the first Friday. Right. Obviously, it wasn't such a big cover of Shabbos issue for you. Yeah. Well, try. Okay. There is a misconception that people think that the halachas of Sphira are exactly the same as the halachas of the 3 weeks, and that's not so. Many Achronim write that there is no problem of saying Shechiyonu during Sphira HaOmer. Right, the Shulchan Aruch quotes it only regarding the 3 weeks. The Mishnah Berurah seems to say, Shlomo Zalman Neubach held that way, that there's no problem saying Shechiyonu during Sphira HaOmer. And therefore, Shlomo Zalman held, with the Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef, Shlomo Zalman held, there's no problem with wearing new clothes during Sphira HaOmer. It's that's a 3 week issue. That's during the 3 weeks. But during Sphira HaOmer, it's not a problem. Yep. Why wear new clothing during Sphira? What? So there are different gradations. And this wasn't, how could they talk, it wasn't acceptable. Okay. Yeah. Wow, no, I'm sorry. Now I'm going to get some music. Okay. The Magen Avraham, who lived well over 3 centuries ago, the Magen Avraham writes, and the Magen Avraham is quoted by later Achronim, Mishneburah, and Achashulchan, etc., that during the Sefirat HaOmer time period, Yikudim and Mechalos are up. Yikudim and Mechalos are short. Mechalos. Week of it's dancing. Right? Different types of dancing. Right? Festive dancing, because in general it's festive, right? Is also during the Sfirat HaOmer time period. And this is later, quoted by the later Achronim, this is Mr. Brook, also the Chashuk, and all the Manipalskin, Shlomo Zalman, and Moshe, and Rav Yosef, etc. What seemed to have happened is that the time period of the Sfira took on, when I Gishel, various levels of greater avails. Now, it started off not getting married, as it was the first thing that we find in the Golden. Then in Rishon we find about not taking haircuts. Rebbe and the Magen Avraham talked about Bikudim and Mecholos, and the more modern, I guess, maybe version or outcome of Bikudim and Mecholos is listening to music. So all this is built up. Rabbi Twiske has a, he's giving a shiur, I think on Thursday on Sfira. So he has an interesting theory about Sfira to Omer, that the original Tikkunim, the original Minhagim, I don't want to take away from the shiur, these Minhagim were not necessarily Avelis oriented, but Lamaisa, for well over 300 years, as the Ofer Shulchan writes, Minhag Yisrael has been to turn it into an Avelis of Avelis. That's the Minhag. Now, in terms of Bikudim and Mecholos, of dancing, so B'divrei Rishus, meaning we're not talking about Shevet Brachos, which we'll talk about in a moment, so it's also during Sfira, the more Manaposkin, Rav Moshe, and Chasidkuk and others say the same thing would apply to listening to live music, right, for B'divrei Rishus, so it's also during the Sfira period. For Shevet Brachos, if there's a Shevet Brachos that's taking place, because, as you well know, there are different time periods. Some people on Lag BaOmer is an exception to the rule, and then they pick up after Lag BaOmer with Nehugah Avelis. So somebody got married on Lag BaOmer, but they have a Shevet Brachos after Lag BaOmer when it's still the Nehugah Avelis. So, here, Moshe Feinstein and Shlomo Zalman both hold that you should Shevet Brachos. If you're allowed to get married, you're allowed to have Shevet Brachos. If you're allowed to have Shevet Brachos, you're allowed to have dancing. So if you have a Shevet Brachos during the Sfira period, you can have dancing and it seems you can even have music. Regarding a bar mitzvah, Rav Avadi Yosef was mekel, many Ashkenazic poskim are machmir. I know that in my shul, in Ramat Beit Shemesh, they have a simcha hall underneath. And I know part of the question that they were dealing with was, for bar mitzvah takes place during the Sfira period, were they or were they not going to allow music? And the Rav of the Shul, I think at some point, was decided that even though he knows that Rav Avadi Yosef is Mekel, and there are many Svartim in Quantum Mekel, but the Shul's policy, since it's taking place in the Shul, and the Shul is mostly in an Ashkenazi neighborhood, so that if he wanted to make the bar mitzvah there, you know, in this world, then he wasn't allowed to have music during the Sfira. But again, if you go to a Svardi bar mitzvah, they may very well have music. Regarding stop singing, that person just wants to sing, so Shlomo Zalman held that you can sing, but you shouldn't sing Simchas Diktor. Like, in the middle of Sfira, you shouldn't start singing the any song that's gonna, like, you want to dance to. So, he says that you shouldn't sing, because if it's Ma'orah Simcha, it's not within the spirit of Sfira. Some say that there are those who are allowed to sing regular Shabbos Miros, and Shabbos we're not so worried, or whatever it is, or we don't want to publicly. So whatever normally you sing on Shabbos, you can sing during the Sfira period. What's the story with music tapes? So again, Rav Moshe held, and Shlomo Zalman held, and others, that a tape or a recording, nowadays no one has tapes anymore, right? Right, a recording of musical instrumentation is also us. Is also us. Right, whatever recording you have. Now, Mitzad HaSvara, one could make a distinction between listening to a live performance, a live musical performance, and a tape for a recorded musical performance. Especially, to listen to music is so easy that we don't even pay attention to the fact that we're listening to music. You know, people use music as just background music. And they don't necessarily, when they're listening to music, have this sense of joy. Now, it could be you're listening to a real sufistic tape, which I think certainly would not be appropriate. Like, if you're listening to a tape or a recording of wedding and you're sitting here drumming your fingers, so that would be appropriate. But if you're listening to, there's musical instrumentation, but it's not such a simplistic thing. One could make an argument that it's not the same as listening to live music, and maybe it would be okay. That's unsatisfying. I once heard many, many years ago in the Nira of Soloveitchik that he held that if a person would stop listening to music while they were washing their dishes, or sometimes people do when they're doing their homework, what? Or on the bus, it's just to pass time, or whatever it is, that a person wasn't making any occasion out of it. It was like what we call just background music, but he held that it wasn't a problem. Somebody else told me many years later that he held a slightly different stock from Rav Soloveitchik, and it's significantly different. But Rav Soloveitchik was asked, the person said when he drives the car, he likes to listen to music because it helps him concentrate on the driving. So Rav Soloveitchik told him in that case he could, which is different than what I had heard, because that may be, okay, you're listening specifically because you're trying to drive a car. Probably similar to that would be people who exercise to music. Like people exercise to a certain beat. Right. So if you're listening to the music for some other purpose, to help you stay away, or to help you concentrate on, or to help you keep the beat, concentrating on something. So there could be those who would. There is some room to be mako, but you should be aware not everybody is mako on that. And Moshe did wasn't mako for Shlomo Zalman, so there also weren't mako. Somebody, I don't know how many years ago, came up with a brilliant idea. And he said as follows. He says, if you can sing without musical instrumentation, so you can record without musical instrumentation. And came up with a whole genre of special for the 3 weeks and Sfirat HaOmer. A cappella, cassette, tape. I buy everything, right? There's a whole, you'll see, it's advertised all over the place. They advertise special for Sfira Tomer, etc. So I saw that actually Rabbi Yoshua Reb Shlomo Zalman held that, that technically it's okay. That listening to a recording of voice singing that has no musical instrumentation is okay. It seems that way. Since Eliezer held against it, he held that the very fact that I'm listening through an instrument makes it musical instrumentation. Anything, whether it's a cassette or an iPod or it's a computer or something, whatever it is, that's the instrument. So he held that it was awesome. So there are those who are making it, those who are more machmir. In general, by the way, first of all, I think it's true all the time, but in general, I think it's very important that one has to realize that different people have different customs. I don't think it's appropriate, just because you hold that you're allowed to listen to certain kinds of music during Sfira, to start playing it in the dorm room or in your room, in the apartment. Other people may have different customs. I really hold that I don't think it's appropriate all year long, because who wants to necessarily listen to your music, whatever your music is? Right? You love swacking, but somebody else doesn't like swacking, so you shouldn't be blessing it. Because Baruch Hu invented earphones for a purpose. And a person can listen, especially now when you have, you don't have to walk around like with a huge something or another in order to listen. In old days, they used to call them boomboxes. I don't know if you know what they still call them that. So you're not walking around, you used to see like a guy in the street walking around with this huge boombox. On the seat, you know, now you can get a little nothing or another. You stick in a face, you put it in your ear, you put it in your pocket, and you can walk around, you can listen to music to your heart's desire, and it doesn't bother anybody, etc. Okay, questions on this?
Yes.
Yeah.
So we get the light bulb.
And the phone is like a background,
you can control the
graphic and
sensible. I don't think that's the stuff you need. I think depending on how sick are the kids. I think do whatever you do normally do. Do whatever you normally do. First of all, there are studies that show that persons frame of mind actually can help the healing process. And there was one guy who was, there was a whole theory about it. He was sick and he used to watch comedy movies, just one after another. Slapstick, silly comedy movies. Right. He claimed to go to the outside, whatever you do. Question, yeah.
So if somebody is engaged during the trip,
why are you completely
can't
understand things? I think
for.
Are you planning on entering Rifkin or? Mishnah Berurah writes. Mishnah Berurah writes that you can have a suuda, have an engagement party, a lechaim, etc. But he says, "Liri kudim u'mecholos." It seems from the Shlomo Zalman that you would be allowed to sing simplistic songs. In other words, you can sing some of the wedding songs, but no dance.
Also, that was
an awesome
question. Does that
all
apply for
like different reasons? No, different sets of rules. I'm going to say, they're not automatically the same. Some things are similar. First of all, the medical thing. You should do anything and everything that you normally do. Everything that you normally do. Tisha B'Av, maybe not. And I'm not even so sure about that. But aside from Tisha B'Av, everything. Yeah.
Number one, does that help
copy the Shlomo Zalman said that even not recorded, just the person shouldn't be singing yet.
Right,
and
then also, I don't think so.
Is there anything in the sense
that you can
do with
any music about that?
I told you, I had once heard from a Soloveitchik that recorded music that the person listens to as background music.
Listening, like cooking music, like a
recording. Isn't that what I'm talking about?
Because
you want to listen to music. Because you want to sit back and enjoy listening to music.
Yeah.
I'm not so sure that even he was allowing that. I think the whole point was, in other words, the more a person wants to sit back and enjoy, the more of a problem it is. The more that it just keeps us concentrated, not or either it both works to help us concentrate and help distract us for different things. Yeah.
Like,
you can't get a haircut during Chol HaMoed. No. We're not knowing Chol HaMoed. You can't get a haircut during Chol HaMoed, but for a totally separate reason. The music can go here.
So when I practiced, it was obviously a lot of music, but like, as a whole, it was just practicing, whatever.
Like now, I don't see the
similar,
when I play, it's not really pleasant. For example, let's say I said it, it's not really pleasant, it's not really pleasant, it's not really pleasant. Let's be honest. I want to discuss one more aspect. The mitzvah of Sfirat HaOmer is to count all 49 days. That's in the first part of the Shir. That's the mitzvah. However, the niyog avelos, or the minhagim, specific minhagim, Sfirat HaOmer, is not necessarily all 49 days. There are many different minhagim, and different kehilot have different minhagim, different families have different minhagim, within kehilot there are variations one way or another, etc. There are some who are no hay. Avelus, the Minhagim of Avelus, the whole time period, minus, as I told you, on Chol HaMoed, not Noeg, and on Lag BaOmer. That's the day that we start dying. That's one Nisa. There are those that are Noeg Avelus through Lag BaOmer, and after the beginning of Lag BaOmer, the morning Lag BaOmer, after Lag BaOmer, they're not Noeg Avelus. Svartim actually are knowing through Lag BaOmer. Lamedal. So the morning is Lamedal. So the Lamed Gimel has its own exceptions to the rule. There are those that the first part they're not knowing Avelos during the month of Nisan. And they pick up with Avelos either on the first day of Rosh Chodesh Iyar, or on the second day of Rosh Chodesh Iyar, or on the day after Rosh Chodesh Iyar. And depending on when they start, they either finish their Avelos on Gimel Sivan, Dalet Sivan, or Hay Sivan, which is Hay Sivan is Erev Shavuot. They try to get it in some or another 33 days. There are some people who are knowing Avelos the whole time. Minus Rosh Chodesh Iyar, minus Rosh Chodesh Sivan, minus Lag BaOmer, minus Rosh Chodesh Hagbala. So there are many different nihugim and kazim. If you hold a minhag, if you hold one minhag, and by the way, some people who even stop avelos only stop it for certain things, like they'll not allowed to get haircuts, but they won't get married. Or you may get, maybe you get haircuts if you don't listen to music, lighting, whatever. So there are variations within the variations. If you hold one period of avelos and you're invited to a wedding from somebody who holds a different period, for him there's no avelos, and for you there is avelos. You can go to the wedding, and you can dance at the wedding, and you can sing at the wedding. That can be done. It's not a problem for you. Right? Because it's mukhah for them, so it's mukhah for you to participate, to be some echas in the kala, etc. There's no issue. Lag BaOmer is on a Sunday this year. There's the Achronim called the special headset that when Lag BaOmer is on a Sunday, you can get a haircut on Friday, the Kabbat Shabbos, in that situation. There's a discussion amongst the Achronim what exactly the Ramah meant. The Ramah says that on Lag BaOmer, you still hold up Avelos Ba'erev. Ba'erev, you still have Ba'erev Lag BaOmer, there's still Avelos. There's still Avelos, you don't get a haircut until the morning. The question is, did Ramah mean that you can't get a haircut at night, you have to wait till the morning, or did he mean you can't get a haircut late in the afternoon? You have to wait till the Zman Lag BaOmer. What does the Ramah mean, and did he mean only haircuts? Did he mean this? And singing here in Eretz Yisrael, the minhag is that in the night of Lag BaOmer, there's music all over the place. So it's the Tzilum, and everybody lights a bonfire, and it's Baruch Hashem, it's Mamish, Nisim, and it's low here on Lag BaOmer that the whole country doesn't burn down. Because, as you will see, when you get back, the kids already begin Hachana and Chol HaMoed, start collecting wood to see the entrance to Har Noch, like these kids build bonfires like the size of this room. They're just huge bonfires. And then when it comes to Lag BaOmer, the 10-year-old, right, so the one child of the bonfire has to go away, and he leaves the 6-year-old to watch it, and it's Mamish Nisim in the flaws that the whole country doesn't burn down. Right? So you see Yad Hashem here, etc. The fire trucks, the fire trucks actually patrol. They're like both. They're on the streets patrolling. Right? Three fire departments. Right. So they actually patrol the streets, etc. Don't do what brilliant is. Some yeshiva bachurim had a number of years ago in the sin well-known yeshiva. They decided to light a little bonfire on the roof of the yeshiva, not realizing that the tar that was used to tar the roof was flammable. And Baruch Hashem, the building didn't burn down, but it was a little scary, supposedly, for a while. You'll be on the fuel, right? So I don't know what you guys are doing in Lag BaOmer. There are two different opinions, whether the place to be Lag BaOmer is Meron, or the place not to be Lag BaOmer is Meron, depending on your perspective. The question is whether you enjoy spending Lag BaOmer with 500,000 of your most intimate friends, in very close quarters, etc. Okay, any other questions? Yeah.
So after
the Omer,
then you go to
the Friday? No, it depends on your meal.
Okay.
So some have a minhag that after Lag B'Omer nothing applies. Some have a minhag that we get haircuts after Lag B'Omer, we don't get married after Lag B'Omer. Well, and some have a custom that Lag B'Omer is the blitz, right? Which, and Lag B'Omer everything's okay, and after Lag B'Omer you go back to the way it was before Lag B'Omer. Depending on when you started counting, when you started your minhag avelus. I wouldn't say every possibility is there, but there are so many variables that are out there. I think Rav Moshe Feinstein counts six in his tshuva, but I think that there are variations even on the six. Yeah.
So if you have a family
minhag, that's what the family minhag is. They call the name of Rav Moshe. I think Rav Moshe actually writes that if the person wants to switch, it doesn't need to do, in most cases, it doesn't need to do Ataras Nadarim. Because it's all basically the same concept. If you're living at home, I wouldn't do that necessarily, unless there was good reason. I mean, you wanted to get married during the country. It depends on the variation. Everyone says 33, but there's so many different possibilities. Okay, we'll stop.